Welcome to Nerds Podcast number 566.
We're so close to 569, Ing.
Oh, my God. I don't know what that would look like.
Well, let me show this sketch about the diagram I've put together right, for at least my large body and your normal man-sized body could work together.
Yes, using string theory, I see that you've there's a fifth dimension to this. Okay,
yeah.
So you were actually going down on a girl in an alternate universe.
Yes.
That's 569.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we locked that down. The Oddball Comedy Fest is going on right now. This weekend will be in Seattle and Salt Lake City and Mountain View, California at the Shoreline. Go to oddballfest.com. Louis C.K., Sarah Silverman, I think Whitney Cummings is on some of these. Maren, me, Hannibal Buress. It's
a bunch of no names.
I know, seriously. Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Do you guys ever sing like a group song at the end?
Does that joke
ever get old? Like, you guys really should just... One headphone on each of your ears. Just
do they know it's Christmas time? I don't know. That's the first group one I could think of. This is a hostful episode.
A what?
These mother... How dare you?
My favorite kinds.
How dare you? These motherfuckers are going to start popping up more often, guys.
Ooh, we finally found them.
I've started putting in the calendar some more regular... Now that we're all back... And
I just like the idea that you guys like scatter to the wind and Jonah's just like ride a motorcycle through the desert. Mm-hmm. Matt is doing whatever like someone from the East Coast who's unhappy does in their free time. I imagine it's around some sort of a lake or a bay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then and then we all come back together occasionally to reunite.
Just getting the band back together.
Reunite the circle, which is actually a triangle. But, I would say it's a circle because of you guys.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all...
Good powwow positioning set up.
Yeah. So I was very, very, very excited. This was a particularly interesting one because I got... I was shadowed by the Wall Street Journal for a day because they just were like, we want to follow you and see what a day it is like for you because I do stuff. I do a lot of stuff.
Can I ask a really dumb question? Do you roll over and they're already there? Like, you wake up to hit the alarm, the first photo goes... Because in my mind, when he was following you, that's all I could think about.
You're right. That is a dumb question.
I acknowledged it.
No, it ended up being not an atypical day, but the day started at 7:45 and ended. I did a set at Meltdown that night, and it was a two-show Wednesday, and we did a podcast, and so it was like a 7:45 until like 11 o'clock at night kind of a day.
Full flavor Hardwick.
Really fun though. It was really fun. I hope it turns out okay. I'm very nervously excited about it. But they were here for this, and it was fun. And Matt was in. I'd like to say Matt was in rare form, but he wasn't.
Nope. Pretty average form for Matt there.
It was great though. So here's the Nerds Podcast number 566. Some hostful goodness for your week.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's been a while since we've done one of these.
I was not on a podcast for all of August.
I'm sorry.
It's crazy.
Sabbatical. I know, but you've been busy.
I'm back, guys. I'm here.
You're back. I got to hang out with this guy and his awesome girlfriend in New York when I was there for a couple of days.
Dory, about to say that, Dory?
Yeah, I think so. I think the cat's out of the bag.
Dory's rad.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's really cool. Yeah, I got to hang out with her at our show in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
So how are you planning to not fuck that up? I'm just curious. I don't know. Is that aggressive?
Well, you know, I think you just sort of take it day by day.
All right. That's your first mistake.
Oh, okay. I think
clearly you're not thinking about the long haul with this girlfriend.
Well, I am thinking
just thinking about
it
day by day.
Wait.
Come on.
Right now. Fucking poking holes.
Come on. I'm doing great, I think. We're having a good time.
Good.
We're very happy.
Hey, we're taking things slow. We're just having a good time. It's real relaxed.
We're taking
it's casual.
Slow. I'm just saying, like, it feels right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, so you have a
wife
and a mustache.
I have a mustache right now. Yeah.
What's going on?
I shot on a show called Big Time in Hollywood, Florida, and I played a marina cop.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so they said I should have a mustache. And then I said, I can't wait. After we were wrapped, I was like, can't wait to get this off my face. Because I've had mustaches before, but this is the most square mustache. This is the most pita stache I've ever had.
It just basically is just hugging your top lip.
It is. It's not, because, you know, usually I bring it down on the sides, maybe get a little soul patch, maybe a little, you know, Zappa style.
No.
This is straight up just dad trying not to look like a child mustache.
It's like Ethan Hawke's mustache in Boyhood when they have to represent, like, he's way past the cool period.
He's so square now, exactly.
That's a minivan stache.
Yeah, so it's like, and I was like, can't wait to get this on my face. And they're like, oh, you got to wait. We might have to do reshoots, so we'll let you know. So it's been a couple days, and I'm just walking around my real life looking like this.
What if it's just this long con and they're not telling you?
I don't know. I'm very scared. It was like the scene I did was with Cuba Gooding Jr., and it was
Academy Award winning actor.
Yes, exactly. And it was the most like that was the first thing. He's like weird stash, man. I was like, thanks. And then
you should have said, explain Boat Trip to me.
Yeah, exactly. No, explain Shadow Boxer. You know Shadow Boxer?
Oh.
It's a Lee Daniels movie that he was in with Helen Mirren, where they play partners that are assassins, but they also are lovers. And but she also killed Cuba's dad when he was a kid, so she also raised him.
And she grew up in Cuba too.
Yeah, exactly. No. But then as she spoiler alert, as she dies of cancer, he has sex with her one last time.
He doesn't die of cancer. She dies of the gunshot wound to the head.
But
while
she was dying
fucking.
Of cancer.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, he shoots her while they're having sex.
Yeah, while she's orgasming.
Yeah.
He shoots her in the head.
Oh.
It's beautiful. And then he buries her.
Oh.
Naked. He buries her while he's naked.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's
he's
naked.
Naked.
Everybody's naked.
Yeah.
These are all real things you're saying.
This is Lee Daniels' movie after Precious.
Right.
Is it before Precious?
Before Precious.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a Lee Daniels. The guy who did The Butler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, then it's his movie. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
All right, I guess I'll watch it.
You don't have to watch
don't.
It.
Oh, don't. We only watched it because we interrupted it.
Yeah.
Oh, for Doug Benson.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you did that as a Benson interruption.
Yeah, of course.
It was exhausting after a while. Like, were you there for Waterworld?
No, I didn't
Waterworld.
Do Waterworld.
And you
I did Cloud Atlas though.
Oh yeah, but like Waterworld, there's like long periods of time where nothing happens. It's just water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you run out of jokes about water.
But like, Jonah never runs out of fart noises.
Oh God, that's my. That's my ace in the a-hole. I'll tell you this, though, about Cuba Gooding Jr. He hugged me, and it felt like a statue had come alive and hugged me. It hurt so bad.
Oh, is he super
He's
ripped?
Just solid rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he went and hugged the guy that I was in the scene with next to me, and then
killed him.
Like accidentally hit my face and slapped my glasses off and didn't notice. And,
oh.
then just kind of went like, this is going to be great, and then walked away.
Well, that's probably because when Cuba went out to space and then that radiation hit him and then he came back.
I never saw snow dogs. I never saw snow dogs.
That's what snow dogs was. let's see. What else happened? Oh, this was great. I was in New York. I've been doing the oddball shows.
Yeah.
And we did one in Tampa, and my brother Eddie lives down there. He lives in Bradenton. And so I said, hey, you know, I got to go to New York after this couple oddball shows as I'm doing the Fallon show and then I'm doing a Doctor Who thing. Do you want to come to New York with me and then come back to L.A. and come to the Creative Arts Emmys? Which was a very big deal because Eddie and I, we didn't grow up together. We had the same dad but different moms. And he's a couple years older. But he, you know. So
Chris, the term is brother from another mother.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so our dad threw it in his mom, and then a couple years later, mine. And so,
this is so romantic.
I love how you warmed up to the phrase "throwing it in."
Yeah.
You used to always be like, "That is gross, man."
So my dad had unprotected sex with two moms.
Yeah,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
He's fucked a couple moms.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
One of them was Eddie's mom. One of them was my mom. He got all up with my mom. And then we didn't grow up together and we weren't really ever close. And then when our dad died last year, we actually got close. And so this was an opportunity for us to, like, we've never really spent this much time together.
Gave you an opportunity to bro down.
We did bro down. And it was phenomenal. Like,
that's
he's
great.
Such a wonderful guy. I love him so much and I'm so glad
you know, that my dad was generous enough to die so that my brother and I could become friends.
That's great. Now, really cut the sappy shit. Tell me about the Emmys and how you got on stage and all that shit.
Now, let's talk about me.
Yeah.
No. Well, we lost the Creative Arts Emmy to The Tonight Show, yes. Which was fine. Because I used to think it was dumb when people go, it's an honor to be nominated. But it really was. Like, I didn't have any expectations.
It was pretty cool.
It was super cool. And then the Emmys, I had had a call with them a couple weeks before. We'd sort of pitch them ideas like, well, maybe we could do some At Midnight games with social media live during the show, like in and out of commercial break. And they said, great. And then a couple days later, they called back and they were like, okay, the show is 6 minutes long and we got to chop it down. And it has to finish at 8 o'clock because the show rebroadcasts again at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So they cannot be late. And so they were like, well, do you just want to present? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I'd actually rather that.
I would like to do that. So then we were going to do an At Midnight game for the presentation, but then you only have 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And so then I just basically...
Yeah. Webster's Dictionary defines games as... okay, these are the nominees.
So, so I did, and it was a very surreal... It was surreal. The whole thing was just this, like... sandstorm of surreal,
yeah,
and but amazing, and I was terrified.
How big is that prompter?
I wrote the bit, so I didn't use it.
Oh, okay,
but I had it on the prompter in the back, but it's like a giant screen that's like most of the way in the back of the theater.
Oh, okay,
but I was terrified, and so I called Colbert the night before, and I was like, hey. You know, since you've done the White House Correspondents' Center, that's is way scarier. What is this room like, and is it scary? And he was like, it's a TV show. Like, don't even worry about the audience there. Just play to the, you know, just like...
And he did not.
I couldn't even look at them.
Oh, really?
I was terrified. If you watch it, I look over them, and then I look at the bulb on the microphone. I mean, right before I went out, I was like, okay... This is going to be whatever it's going to be, and I'm just going to have fun, because this is one of the most... special moments of my, you know, having watched the Emmys when I was a kid and be like, oh, yeah, that'd be fun someday.
This is a good, like, proud mom moment.
It was. And so it was really, I know it's just an award show and they're just people, but there's something about it that was really, you know, sincerely special for me. And I didn't want to fuck it up. And so, and it turned out to be really, really, really fun. But just having had a career for so long where I always felt like, I was always on the outside,
yeah,
you know? And not that that should be a reason why you do anything, but you still, you know, it still feels nice to be included in things.
Cool Kids Table.
I only do things to be included in.
That's true. He makes things just to include himself in it.
Yeah,
I actually felt included and it just felt nice. It was just nice because when you're backstage in the green room, it's all people that you want to shit your pants over seeing, but they're all in the same position as you, so their defenses are down, and they're just like. You know, I talked to Lena Headey for like 15 minutes
nice.
Just about how nervous we both were, and she was so sweet.
That's
but if
great.
I had just gone up to her at a party and been like, "You're nice," you know, she probably would have punched me in the throat. So
well, that's what she'd do.
Yeah,
she'd just throat punch.
Well, maybe. But anyway,
that's great, though.
It totally freaked me out, the whole thing, and it was super fun, and I could not be more thankful and appreciative that it happened, and we had really good seats.
You almost sounded completely modest.
No, we did. It was so there.
This was a beautiful moment. I can't believe I got to do it. And the seats we got were fucking dope.
They were pretty dope.
They were pretty
somebody
dope. I didn't even get to see you at that Comedy Central party.
The one for the during the Creative Arts.
Yeah, I got in trouble a couple times that night.
How?
It was a TV party, essentially. It was a Creative Arts Emmy party, and it was for Comedy Central, which are TV entities, and so it was a party for that. And so I played I was DJing that night, and I played TV Party by the band Black Flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lady from Viacom got mad at my friend Chris for letting me play it.
Why?
Because it's a punk song, you know? It's a dancey punk song.
Yeah, but it's a Comedy Central party.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, it's silly. And then so later in the night, you know, some guys, showed up and was kind of wrapping up in the main room. And then I my friend Chris is like, you should just play it again because, like, you know, who cares?
Right.
And so I played it again. And during that time, our friend Joss Whedon comes up and says, hey, this music sucks. Can you play something we can dance to? And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. I only play good music. You can't dance to good music.
Nice.
And then I don't think he got the irony of the joke I had just said. And then he kind of was like, he's like, who says that? Who? What's wrong with you? And I was like, oh, no, I was just kidding. It's a joke. And he's like, oh, now you're trying to back out? And then he walked away. And then I he tweeted about it, saying, pretty much calling me out for being sexist.
I saw that.
I saw
that tweet.
I was really I felt real bad. I felt real bad because I'm not going to get, you know, the part of Mr. Fantastic in the Avengers.
Well,
right. I tested for it. Why, Kyle, does that surprise you?
Even say that. That's worse than the time you said that thing to Joss Whedon at the Comedy Central party.
So it was a great night.
It was a really fun party, and yeah, it was great to I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about the Creative Arts Emmys and the Emmys themselves was looking around and seeing all of our friends.
Yeah,
you know, seeing Kumail and TJ and Middleditch for Silicon Valley, and seeing Billy Eichner fucking crush with his the Billy on the Street bit at the top of the Emmys.
That's awesome.
It's so fun when you watch the rest of the world start to see what you already knew about people.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, of course Silicon Valley is amazing because it's the funniest fucking people we know.
Yeah,
and of course Billy's funny, and of course, you know, it's nice to, and Fred and Carrie, like, just to see the integration of all of that.
Yeah, it's nuts. I never would have thought in my life when I was a kid listening to Slater Kinney that I would see one of those girls at the Emmys.
Being hilarious. Oh my God, this guy's making me move my foot so he can take his 9,000th picture of you.
What's the problem?
I don't understand. This is a wonderful podcast that is all audio. And then Snappy McSnaps a lot over here from the Wall Street Snappers.
Wall Street Snappers is my favorite street hockey team.
Wall Street Snappers. It's just a gang of Italian guys that work on Wall Street. Hey.
Oh, what's the matter, you? Hey. Oh, what's the matter, you?
We are the 1%.
Buy News Corp.
Oh, yes. Yes, the Wall Street Journal's following around today just to see what I do in a day.
Is it because you're so money?
Couldn't even get it out all the way. Couldn't even get it past the mustache. Just got trapped like krill in Baleen. Just joke krill. Just trapped.
It was great.
You want to take that again?
Take two.
Is it because you're so money?
Yo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what to do. I used to be comfortable doing this podcast. Now I can't put my fucking feet up.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just glad someone else is seeing the real Matt.
I'm just going to go over here. Let's do this.
You can ignore him.
This is weird.
It wasn't.
Do you want to switch seats?
No.
Then you can put
sure
your feet up next
feet
to Chris's.
No, there, I can't complain if I'm sitting over there.
Poor man. Must be nice to have your feet up.
I know.
It's pretty comfortable, right, Chris? It's really comfortable over there? I bet it's really comfortable.
You can put your feet back up.
I don't think I can.
All right.
Snapsies over
here. You want to put them on my chair?
No, it's just rude.
It's not.
Nah, desk is okay.
But this rant isn't rude at
desk
all.
Desk is okay. Desk is okay.
calling a professional photographer Snapsy isn't true.
He doesn't talk. He's just motioning to me to move my arm.
No, he's a cameraman. He only speaks in Morse code.
Long, short, short, long, 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 yeah, long,
what,
short,
what
short,
is,
short,
what
long,
is
long
name,
shutter,
sir?
Long shutter, short shutter.
Pete? Yeah. Pete, are you with the Getty, or what do you do there?
I'm freelance.
You do whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever I want.
If I want to use one of your pictures, I got to pay you.
That's right.
I like that. You know, Snapsy's turning around over here. I like him. Works for himself. I like that a lot.
Real American of
him. Self-starter.
He's his own boss.
A go-getter.
Pete, do you have a website where people can find your photographs? I'm just going to make him part of the podcast.
Yeah,
now.
Sure.
Yeah, it's peterbohler.com.
Spell it.
That's Peter, PETERBOHLER.
See, no one would have gotten that H. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, I thought you said Boulder.
Everyone, catch that website. Enjoy it. I'm sure there are no feet in the shots.
But how much to...
I love Pete. He's great.
All the comments and all the pictures. Too many feet. Feet. All caps. Exclamation points.
You should probably register Snapsy now, too.
Snapsy. It's your new
It's not.
It's your brand. It's all about branding, Pete. Get a brand. This guy brands. Look at him. Better call Saul. He's got a shirt on from that other network he works for.
That's true. I do. I don't know if this was a sanctioned T-shirt.
Oh, really?
No.
I mean, of course it is.
No one will ever see it.
Quick, take more. What did you guys do while you were in New York?
Had fun. We had a lot of fun. Dory worked, because that's what she does. So she worked. She went over to BuzzFeed, did some BuzzFeeding.
Dory's the executive editor of BuzzFeed on the West Coast.
She generally... Oh, no, all of... She just happens to
work. She's the executive editor of BuzzFeed, and she lives on the West Coast.
Yeah, so she gets to go out to New York to talk to people who are actually writing, you know, instead of being out here in L.A. in this office of kids.
Watching her boyfriend
media.
Build a sarcophagus of guitars.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We're all going to be smothered by them one day.
Is that the name of your next album?
Sarcophagus of guitars. I did buy one out there in New York at Sam Ash.
I know.
It was great. It was really a fantastic... I got a 1983 Fender Stratocaster.
What was particular about that guitar that you wanted?
It was left-handed and from 1983, like myself.
Think about it.
I want you to have
quick reasons like that for every guitar you buy.
I can give you a reason for every guitar
I buy. All
right,
what was the one you bought before that?
The good folks at Chicago Music Exchange helped me out and got me a Gibson SJ-100. Mm-hmm. Which is a big jumbo acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. which I wanted because the Beatles used that a lot in the later recordings. Mm-hmm. They used an SJ-200, but, you know.
Oh, then why'd you buy the other one?
Because you don't really find those in left-handed too much. It's just the same thing with less ornate. There's not as much mother of pearl.
Mm.
Yeah. It's great, guys.
And what about the guitar before that?
Oh, boy, what even was that? I don't even...
You
was
can't even
telly?
Get too deep!
Oh, hang on. It was an Epiphone, the Epiphone Casino. Epiphone Casino.
You just made that up.
No, it was an Epiphone Casino.
Because you liked the movie Casino?
No, because Epiphone made a limited run of left-handed casinos, and I said, I should probably grab one of those while I
can. Your favorite dish is Clams Casino, so you're like, I should have a guitar of the
no,
same
name? No,
that's
not my favorite dish. That's Blaine Kapach's favorite reference. Clams Casino.
Yeah, I know. It goes Arby's, Clams Casino.
Clams Casino.
Arby's.
At least those are things that happen after 95.
I don't know about the Clams Casino
thing. No one's unironically had either of those things since then.
Blaine's one of my favorite people in the world, and the only person who will drop a Cagney and Lacey reference in a writer's meeting in the morning.
And expect everyone to get it. That's the thing. He doesn't do it knowing.
He drops them all, and then he has to pick them up.
Oh, so we shouldn't do a House of Cards crossover and do Cagney and Spacey.
No, we shouldn't do that. No one's going
to
get that.
Yeah, a lot of his jokes are like a prop comedian after a long set. He just has to go and sadly collect all his stuff off the stage.
I love him so much. I adore him so much.
Yeah, he's the best.
What have you been doing?
This past weekend, I went to the FYF Fest.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Comedy stage?
I heard a lot about that. Kids not being happy with them. I guess the music side of it.
The music side was great. But there was no comedy this year because it was in a new location. And Sean Carlson, who has been doing it the past 11 years, he realized there was no space for the comedy stage where it wouldn't get inundated with a bunch of noise from the other
so it was sort of a mercy killing to like not have the comics have to compete with the music.
Yeah, exactly, because he was really embarrassed because the last couple years we had it at the historic park in LA. Yeah. We finally got to a space where when the comics were on there was a band nearby but you couldn't really, it wasn't overbearing,
right?
And it was like we were really stoked, and then the new place, which was the Expo Park, couldn't do it.
Nice.
Couldn't do it. But it was neat because I still got a pass and I still got to go and watch. I went into a mosh pit on Sunday, which was my arm's fine. Uh-huh. But I don't think you're allowed to after 30. This is what I'm finding now. it was like a band that I saw like when I was like 17, and there was a reunion show, so I was very, very excited to go. It was the Blood Brothers, and I went and I danced a bunch, and it was a mistake. It was a mistake because I'm still sore. Like, my neck is sore. My body is sore.
You're over two limits. You're over the age limit and the height limit.
The height limit, yeah. That's another thing. When you're a tall guy at a show, people use you to try and get on top of the crowd to crowd surf.
Oh, sure.
And also, it's well, you know, everyone else's arms that like are bracing themselves to try and not fall down or get hit, they're like right under the rib cage for me.
Sure. So, and then if someone like throws a skate kid, it's, you catch it because you're peaked.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
crowd,
exactly.
Your head, you just
so
catch it.
That was a bit brutal, but like overall, it was a great show. I did realize though, I think when I was in the pit, I was realizing that I think. You know, the people who started moshing and slam dancing like that, they're a generation of kids that didn't have to go to war. And I think that might have something to do
Wait,
with it.
What?
Yeah, if you think about it, like moshing came about like for like it was like after Vietnam, and so there was no violence in their lives as much as like the indignities of war, I guess, you know? And so like there was this, you know, violent way of dancing all of a sudden. And if you look at it, it's like it starts in the late 70s. None of those kids had to deal with war.
I
as
don't
an adult.
Know if there's a correlation there, but I
oh something to think about.
Your theory.
I yeah,
respect your theory.
What don't you like about it?
It just seems like a very broad generalization about there being no war of that generation, so they decided to mosh.
Well, it's not like they're. It's not one begets the other, but it's a whole systematic socio thing that could easily. Influence a bunch of events that lead
well,
to that.
If you're a researcher right now and you want to waste
you've
a
done
grant,
nothing but negate it. You've provided no information that
would, I would like someone to look into it for us. I'm not going to do the research.
I'm sorry. I'll stop having ideas.
Thank you, Jonah.
Sorry right. that my observation while
it was,
dancing to the Blood Brothers is in airtight.
Welcome to Guessonomics, where we just guess if
just
things were connected.
Isn't that how great ideas start, Chris?
Well, you know, when you really think about it, the advent of large stage amps came after they stopped importing baby elephants into the zoos in the United States.
Hang
from
on,
India.
I think you're onto something here.
Right, right.
This is
because we were not getting, we were not getting sizable creatures, and so they were like, "I want to fill my elephant hole with large amplifiers."
That's a really cool observation, Chris. You see, that's what you do when your friend said something kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting. Even you say it's kind of interesting.
Fucking 500 plus hours of conversation with the two of you. I gotta say something. There's a bunch of shit and fucking time to fill up.
It's just the worst, isn't it?
Hey guys,
is this where it happens? Is this where it crumbles?
We're podcast moshing.
We've run out of shit to say, so now you're making up theories about fucking war.
Hey, maybe you think about it. You think of don't touch me. You're making up theories. That's what a fucking theory is.
I'm thinking about it. I think it's terrible.
God damn it. Fucking, you were nodding your head yes when I talked.
Well, it's fucking Kyle. He's the worst person I've agreed with anything.
Whoa. That's a really mean thing to say about our friend Kyle.
He deserved it.
No, he doesn't.
The way he's cackling over there.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Hate joy.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I
come
love
on.
It. I am the human being form of the pink slime. Ghostbusters 2.
Make me move my feet.
Your love is lifting
me. Oh, I love Jackie
high.
Wilson.
He's dancing.
Than I've ever. Oh.
So here, how about this? Isn't it a coincidence?
No, I don't think it's even a coincidence.
Well, this is a great Matt Myra story. And you know what's really interesting is,
oh God,
even though there's been a lack of hostful podcasts, I feel like we've actually become closer as friends.
That's
like
true.
Hanging out as friends.
Oh, yeah, because we've spent a lot of time hanging out and not talking into microphones.
Which has been wonderful. Like, it's been so great to get to be better friends. But this was really funny. So we were hanging out in New York on, Tuesday or Thursday.
Whatever. Yeah.
And I go, I'm going to the Emmys on Monday, and I don't know who I'm going to take. I asked this one lady, but she was working on a movie and couldn't go. And so Matt goes, "Hey man, hey, I could go with you. I could get a tux by then. No problem. We're going shopping. I'll get a tux." And I was like, okay. So I go, let me just make sure that, you know, that I'm not, that I will be unaccompanied. And so I call Matt the next day. This was a fucking classic Myra story. I call Matt the next day. And I go, "Hey buddy, let's go to the Emmys. Go get your suit." And he goes, nah, that doesn't sound fun. I go, what? And he goes, well, what am I going to do? And I go, what am I going to do? You're going to support your friend who's terrified and who's going to the Emmys. He was like, it just feels like a lot of work. And I go, you offered.
Oh, Christ. And now it's your friend asking you to go, and you're so still just saying
I
no.
I just said, you know what? Never mind. And I took Alex.
I think it was great.
It actually was good to take Alex because.
Yeah, that was your idea too, for him to take Alex, right?
I believe I did say, why don't you take Alex? I believe I'm going to raise my hand and say, Chris, please back me up. I did say that. Did I not say that?
You did say that.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right.
But it actually was nice to take Alex because, you know, we've been working together for 11 years, and so it just sort of felt like, hey, this is a little, you know, this is a nice little milestone that we get to share this together, and it was so much fun.
I would love to defend myself here.
Please.
When I said that to you, I had not yet gotten the email from Darren that was telling us all what time we had to be in on Monday and all the things that we had to write on Monday.
Right.
So I had to go work.
Yeah, I understand.
On the show that got you to the Emmys.
That's a Fallon point.
Fallon point?
It's a Fallon point. Well, I keep saying his name because he beat us.
Super sloppy celebrity double dare with Jimmy Fallon. Oh, let's look at this giant form of this game you played as a kid. That's fun.
Well,
it was fun. You watched every episode and you know it.
Of Fallon?
No, Super Sloppy Double Dare.
Oh, fuck yeah. Jimmy shows on too late.
I know. I'm never up that late anymore.
Says the guy hosting a show called At Midnight.
Well, we tape it earlier. Oh, my God. Really?
Oh.
No. Oh, Jonah.
That ruins everything.
You've done the show multiple times.
Yeah.
I got to say, I think what I said when I did the Tonight Show, I said to Jimmy, I go, you know, our show is just refillable content. Like, the structure is the same. I don't know how the fuck you do a variety show every night where you have to run around and learn sketches and dance and sing and play games.
But then you fill it up with some interviews with some asshole actor.
You know? Oh, hey, good point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. He does good.
So what's your thing now? Oh,
yep.
Here's a clip.
Yep.
Good, that's 3 minutes.
That's it. You should host a show, Jonah.
Yeah. to make a good host, you have to be afraid of an awkward moment.
My...
Yeah.
What do you...
No, I said good host.
No, I was just trying to make an awkward moment.
Yeah, I know.
One of the fun things about having Eddie in New York was basically showing him the New York walking trap, which is we were staying at like 54th and near Broadway because it was close to where I was taping, where I had to do the Doctor Who thing. And I go, hey, let's go to Two Boots Pizza. It's just below 14th. It'll be a nice walk. So we walk all the way down. I think it's like 7th Avenue. We walk all the way down just past 14th. Now we've walked, you know, like 45 blocks, 50 blocks. No, yeah, like yeah. 45 blocks. And then and I go, hey, Soho's right, you know, not far. Let's walk down. So then we walk down to Soho.
That's 14 more blocks.
And then he goes, which I wasn't paying attention to. And then we get there and he was like, oh, I really want to see the World Trade Center. I'm like, okay. So we walked down there. So we walked back to Soho. We ended up, I looked at the map. We ended up walking like 6.5 miles.
Yeah.
The whole day.
Like a weekly limit on my Withings thing.
When I was there, I did the city bike thing, which is something Joan has been a proponent of for a long time. Remember in Montreal, you wanted to get them, and I was like, I don't want to ride a bike.
Yeah, I remember that very well. Yeah. Hey, friend, you want to go on a bike ride together? I don't know.
Well, it probably started like this. Matt said, hey, Jonah, let's go on a bike ride. And he called him. And then he wanted to go on a bike ride? Hey, oh, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, Jonah, you should take Alex on that bike ride. No, but I started getting the city bikes in New York, and it was great because you get like 30 minutes, and there's docks everywhere, and you can keep dumping the bike and taking another bike.
Oh, you only get it for 30 minutes at a time?
Well, you can get it for 30 minutes, and they'll start to charge you extra, but you know, there's no reason not to dock it and then grab another bike because you get unlimited bike rides. And I rode to Brooklyn and then got lost wandering around Brooklyn looking for one of these bike rack things.
How much does it cost?
$10 a day.
No, that's great.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really good. I got Dory into it, too. She loves it. It's the best. I took one cab the entire time I was there.
I noticed those bikes, and I was like, that's genius branding for Citibank.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. The state of New York. New York pays for them, and then...
And it's called Citibikes, and their fucking logo is on the front of every bike.
It's kind of brilliant. I would like to join Citibank after Bank of America's being a dick.
What did they do?
Bank of America lost a giant check. Like, I put it in the ATM because they always...
But did you win a golf tournament? Why was it so big?
It was huge. It was a big check. It was tennis.
Okay.
And, you know, I always go in there and they're always like, oh, you're just doing a deposit. You can go up to the ATM and do it. And I usually go, I'll just do it in person and just fill out the slip. And then the other day, a couple days ago, I put it in the ATM. Just, you know, they have a fun check deposit thing. It reads the check, blah, 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 blah. And I leave and I go online and go, okay, this is pending. It'll clear. And then great. And then the next day, it disappeared. The check disappeared.
Erased from existence.
Exactly. So I called them up and they're like, you know, I've never seen that happen before.
So go fuck yourself.
Kind of.
Did you never found it?
Yeah, I have ATM? A receipt. I had to fax them the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting on that.
Wow.
Well, still waiting on them.
You know, if you have to fax it in.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't email it to
so
you.
So I'm going to go run this over on a mimeograph and then I'll have a messenger bring it over.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to actually take some notes on this. I'm going to go down my typing pool and get that done.
Where is that? I need to put the address in my Newton.
You jumped a couple of years.
I did, yeah. It's still a little technology.
When's that phone coming out? The new one?
I think it'll. Well, the announcement's in a couple of weeks, like two and a half weeks, and then I think what I heard was that the phone could follow 2 weeks after that.
I found a picture on my computer of I took a picture of the last repair note I made at Apple, which you know you put in what part you used, all that stuff, and it was I wrote, this is the last repair I ever did at Apple. And then I wrote, boobs are awesome.
On the repair note?
Yeah. And then I saved it into the system. So that's somewhere. If you work at Apple, go ahead and look it up.
I meant to bring you the... for some reason, I have a Fraser mouse pad.
Yeah, you do.
In my house. And I meant to bring that for you today.
Did you go and get that book?
No.
Maybe I should go.
Is there a Fraser book?
Yeah
I was at the last bookstore downtown. And there was a Fraser book.
That's more exciting than when... Niles. And
that's more exciting than when Niles.
Yeah. And Daphne got together in season 5.
No, Chris. No.
What?
7.
Don't be such a Kelsey Grammar Nazi.
He's killing it on Twitter with that Grammar Nazi thing.
You watching his new show?
I watched about 10 minutes of it. My parents were in town. They visited for the first time in 7 years.
Turn the TV off. Go to bed.
How was that?
You know, it was nice. It was really good to see them. They're huge fans of the Big Bang Theory, I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
They like to reference that.
You know, so is most of America.
I found that, I talked to the writer's room at midnight, and we've discovered that almost all of our parents, that's their favorite show.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
That is interesting.
That is so bizarre. But yeah.
Is there any correlation between the fact that they had to deal with wartime?
Yeah.
Guessonomics!
Hang on, I'm back on this. Yeah.
Guessonomics.
My dad is a veteran. Hang on.
Have you guys been watching any of the Simpsons marathon?
Yes.
No.
You know what's interesting about the Every Simpsons Ever is that there are episodes that were not in heavy syndication that you just it's like when you discover a Python episode that got buried and you're like, what is oh my god, they just and some of them, you
did
know.
Did you see the ratings?
No.
They someone released the numbers of Fox, FX and FXX and FXX crushed Fox and FX with the ratings.
300% more. So like,
when does that app come out?
Oh, it's the fall.
It FX almost now. Is the fall. Yeah, it'll be fall after next
week. That's what they're saying, this fall, FX Now. I got all the, like I went through, when it first started, I just went through.
And recorded a bunch.
The guide. And recorded all the ones I want. And it kind of tapered off yesterday. And then like, I don't recognize any of the episodes.
Because they're new.
So I have like 160-something episodes on my DVR.
Oh,
I think I got rid of all that back catalog of Ray Donovan.
Oh, you're a Ray Donna fan.
I'm a Donna fan. That's
not
correct.
What a true Donna fan would do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I taped it with a VCR just so I could really feel it.
Understood.
You know?
Did you see him and Kerry Washington presenting? I thought of you. Ray Donovan. Did you see Kerry Washington in person? She's gorgeous.
Well,
what are you checking the time for?
As a matter of fact, maybe
selfie.
Did run into Kerry Washington at the
Get her
Emmys.
On the podcast.
Is that her in a caricature drawing of you?
That's like that's...
Jonah, the camera was very close to my face.
I know.
Oh god, I look terrible.
I'm sorry.
Oh god, I was only focusing on Kerry Washington before. Now I just look to the right a little bit. What happens? Oh no.
He's gonna take it real seriously. And then the Laugh Factory's gonna say, "Make God laugh, Chris Hardwick."
Here, I'll just do this. I'll just crop out most of my face.
Oh, she looks even lovelier. Yeah.
You are literally eclipsing the light on her face.
All right. Well, I was next to her on the red carpet, and she was really nice and sweet and funny, and we were joking around, and then I just took a selfie.
Did you at any point in the entire afternoon of Emmys, did you bring up the podcast to anybody? That would have been weird, I think.
Yeah, I think it would have been weird.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, just because I wasn't trying to be, I didn't want to be an intrusive presence.
Sure.
And, you know, but just being back in the green room, it's like, oh, there's Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey and Julie Roberts just walked in, and there's, I ended up talking to Gwen Stefani for like 10 minutes.
Oh, how'd that go?
She was nice. Everyone was nice.
Yes.
And then, oh my God, the Robin Williams tribute. Oh, it was so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and I saw, and I the, when I was leaving, I went backstage at the end of the show, and Billy Crystal was there, and I just said thank you for doing that, and he said of course, and like he was, I can't.
He kept together. It was good. And that's just like a nice story to tell, you know.
It was a nice story to tell, yeah. But it was, I'm so glad that they took the time. Like I was impressed that they really let it breathe. You know, they didn't just try to blast through it. You know, they didn't just tack him on to the to the end of the In Memoriam. They gave him, like, that segment was really, really lovely.
They didn't just Ramus him.
They did not.
Really, remember they just like Harold was just buried in the middle.
Oh yeah.
But other than it was a good overall. It was a really good experience. And I guess I just the only thing that bummed me out about it was that I couldn't call my dad and be like, hey, I'm gonna, that bummed me out.
But you could call your brother.
I could call my brother, who, you know, it's so interesting seeing, because Eddie and I didn't grow up together, but seeing how similar we process information and seeing
violently with a lot of passion and negativity.
Mm-hmm. And
who's a better bowler?
I don't know, actually. I think in an average game, I might be able to take him, but he did bowl a perfect game last year, and I've never done that.
Whoa.
Or like a couple years ago.
Whoa.
My dad worked with him a little bit, and he shot 300 in me, so I'm in awe of that, because I've never done that. I would always get nervous right around the 10th frame.
I think you can do it. I think we should just finish that bowling alley in your house.
And, you know, I interestingly had... You know, when Robin Williams died, and then I got that text from you where you're like, I can't stop crying. You know, like it's so that particular death so heavily affected everyone, because I think he's just a guy that you go, well, no, he's always a positive force of nature.
I had just gotten to Kumail's, and we were just about to record the X-Files podcast when we found out.
I found out when I was leaving the Tonight Show. I got in the car and drove, and Hayslip was in New York, and so she came to the show, and Eddie was there, and she was kind of rifling Twitter, and she was like, I think Robin Williams just died. And we're like, what? And you want to be careful not to immediately jump onto Twitter because of death hoax.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, okay, CNN, CBS, oh, fuck. And I weirdly had...
An orgasm? That is
not
weird.
No, the opposite of that. I had a...
Thanks, Pete.
I had the same, and I think this is just a testament to how integral to comedy and to just our pop culture lives he was, that I had a very similar dream to him, to his death, that I did after my dad died, which was you're with them and you know that they're about to go away, and you're basically just telling them how much you love them and how great they are, and that it's going to be okay. And it was really strange. So the thing that really that I've been really unsettled with about all of it is the fact that someone could be that much of a could completely change the course of comedy, and to be that important to people, and to be that important to like happiness in the world, and not be able to connect to any of it. No. So in the dream, I was telling him, like, it bums me out that you're not, that you can't connect to how, that you can't absorb any of that happiness that you gave to everyone else.
Yeah.
And then basically, he's like, kind of like walked through. It was like I was leading him to this door. It was really, I had a very, you know, the words weren't the same with my dad, but it was a very similar kind of, you know, you're saying a lot of things to them that you didn't get to say.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
But you, and I honestly, I feel like that tribute was so lovely and but sad that I almost felt like the only person who could follow that tribute and be funny is Robin Williams.
Yeah.
He's the only one to be able to do it. But other than that, it was really fun. It's all still new to me, so I just appreciate it was so. Some people I see there were just kind of like jaded, like, it's fucking Emmys. I'm like, this is fun. What are you talking about? Like, why?
You'll get there.
Okay.
I remember, I think it was the Oscars, I think, where Kevin Spacey, they're like, it's like, do you like this? Do you like, or are you kind of tired of it? He's like, no, this is great. He's like, a lot of people forget that, you know, the process of making, you know, TV movies is like, it's hard work. And sometimes you're, you know, in uncomfortable situations or, you know, in places way out in the middle of nowhere. And you're always just kind of, you know, you're just with a bunch of crew people. But he's like, this is like, you know, this is one of the chances we get to dress up and hang out with our friends. And it's like a, you know, kind of a class reunion.
It's very similar to like when we go to Montreal and you see everyone that you know well or know tangentially. And but then you get to hang out and intermingle.
It was really fun.
Would you recommend it
to our audience?
Going to the Emmys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend presenting at the Emmys.
Okay. I mean, I just want to know where we're at on this.
Yeah. But when you have like really big checks, don't take it to Bank of America.
Yeah, don't. Because
when you have like a ton of money.
They don't fit in the slot.
Yeah.
Do they ever find the check or no?
No.
So you just have to get it reissued?
I have to just, I don't know. I'm waiting for their investigation to close.
Oh my God.
Where I'm just like, just open the ATM. It's in there.
Oh, that sucks.
It's crazy.
Are they being helpful or not helpful?
They're being...
But you have to understand from their side, like anyone could just go...
I get it.
I lost a check. It was for $11 million.
Dude, how did you know how much my check was for?
Well,
I don't know. $11 million.
Exactly. $11 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But Bank of America just seems like a pain in the ass anyway. Right?
Seems. You've been with them. Are they?
I'm not with them, so I don't know.
Where do you bank?
Chase. I was with Washington Mutual, and then turned into Chase.
Hardwick?
What?
Bank.
Yes.
Swiss. Swiss.
Understood.
I don't know. I don't have any money.
Why are you growing a curly mustache? Sweating. What's happening
here? Sweating coins, Chris.
No.
You're just...
All the money goes into the orphanage I built in that island just off the coast of Guam. Mm-hmm.
Guamian coast. But also, if you're listening to this and you'd like to hear more of things like this, but without Chris, please purchase My Ray and the Highway on iTunes. It's only $2.
Seamless.
Thank you. And also, order some food through Seamless while you're listening.
Do you have any idea how many people have downloaded it yet?
Katie won't tell us.
You won't know.
The number's not up yet. It takes like a month or so.
It's been about a month. It's weird, right?
Maybe she's just being nice.
Listen, if it's over one person,
dear
great
iTunes.
Job.
info@itunes.com
Hey guys, it's Katie.
Hey guys.
You are never going to believe this summer.
Have a bitch in autumn. Trying to start that now.
See you in math.
Oddball Comedy Tour has been really fun.
That's cool.
Meltdown has been fantastic on the Comedy Central.
Oh, so good, Jonah.
You're on tonight's episode.
Great judge. Because Weird Al's on, right? I'm just in the background. Your Meltdown show has turned out so great.
Thank you.
You guys did such a good job.
I hope they let you do many, many, many more of those.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. I was, a month ago, I made a wish list of other things I wanted to do in the show. And one of them was having Bobcat perform, mm-hmm. then having Robin come out and interrupt him.
Oh,
yeah.
There's all kinds of fun ideas.
Is there a season 2 yet, or do you know?
We don't know yet. But the numbers in the specific quadrants, they seem to like
the demo.
The demo. They seem to be enjoying what's happening with the show, but I'm proud. I'm really proud of it. It's exactly how we wanted it to be, which is a rare thing, I think, with doing anything within television. It's rare that it's exactly how we set out to have it be.
Well, it also was awesome to see you guys on the Sunset Billboard.
Yeah, that's
right about Pinked Up.
Oh shit! I think today, on Monday the subway ads in New York start. For the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling all my friends and anyone listening, please take pictures of dicks drawn on our faces and all the graffiti that happens on
Subway
ads. Or,
you know, draw dicks on their faces. Yeah.
I think that was one of the most brilliant things that Nathan For You did, where it's like he just like with the ads were him doing specific things. Like,
so put to Photoshop dicks or draw dicks in?
For people to like Sharpie dicks into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... very, very excited about that. But it's, yeah, it's nice. I like the show.
Camille was so funny. At one of the after parties the other night, he just kept coming up and going, oh, what was it he said specifically? It, because he got really wild-eyed about it. He was just like, absorb this moment. Do you feel it? Do you feel this moment?
Oh, no.
Absorb this moment.
Jesus.
It was so funny.
Oh,
it
man.
It was so adorable.
That's adorable.
Yeah. Wow. It was great. Yeah, the whole thing was... the whole thing was super fun. Now back to work. Biz as usual.
Biz as usual. We got Monday off.
Now we got to go back on. We're doing more oddball dates this weekend.
Oddball dates.
I got to tell you, just being at that show is amazing. Like watching Attell and then watching Bill Burr go back to back, and then Louis.
Yeah.
It just makes you realize, like, oh, that's what, right? That's what comics are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of course.
I was just supposed to nail it.
Yeah. But, you know, watching Attell, who, like, has quicker jokes, and then watching Burr, who just tells these really amazing stories, it's so inspiring. Yeah. It's so inspiring. It's like comedy camp. It's just like watching counselors at a comedy camp.
You get to go on that private jet that all those guys go on?
I went on it once.
Okay. You know, it's just like Reggie Watts always posts picture. It's like Reggie... Louis, Aziz.
I'd never been on one. It was really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really fun because it was Louis. Okay. So I had to get to New York the next day because I was doing the Tonight Show, and I couldn't, like, the flight that was getting me in, it was really close to what my call time was. Mm. It was only like a couple hours. And so I just you get nervous. You're like, oh, if the flight's late, if there's a delay or something, then I'm going to miss the, and I'd never done the Tonight Show before. And so Louis had this jet. Was going back to New York, and I was like, is there anybody I hitch a ride in New York? Because he just leaves right after the shows. He was like, yeah, man. So, you know, we get off the stage, and he's fucking police escort, boom, you know, to just get past all the amphitheater traffic.
Because
these venues are like, you know, 8,000-10,000 people. And we just fucking zoom by, and then we just go to this little private airport and get on a fucking plane, and they close the door, and then we're an hour and 25 minutes later, we're in New York. It was like a Citation 10, this super fat, like the fastest commercial that's not military, the fastest.
Jeez.
And so it was just me and Jeff Ross and Louis, and it was fucking amazing.
Oh,
I feel like I belonged in there.
An hour.
and I wasn't tired. I'm like, oh, all the shit that tires you out about travel, it's all going through security and having to lug your shit around.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of it's like the Simpsons episode where he gets addicted to the private, and he won't come out of the private jet.
You're like,
oh, I totally get it. But this is outside. I can't afford this. And this is a tremendous waste of money.
Is it his or
he
just
money.
Like charters it?
No, he just chartered it. Okay. He doesn't own it. But it actually was very useful in that moment because it got me into, and then that was a sort
I
of
feel
like
a private jet's always useful.
Well,
it doesn't have to be just that moment.
That was
Chris.
Sort of a I got sad about something, and you know, and I was a little depressed about something, and I was like, oh wait, I just performed in an amphitheater and took a private jet to New York to do the Tonight Show. Things are fine. Things are way more than fine.
Yeah.
I have to stop being a fucking dickhead.
You're doing okay. You got furniture coming. Everything's happening.
My house is about to have furniture. There's places to sit now. Not a lot, but there's enough.
We were supposed to do a camp out before the furniture show.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can still do that. There's
many
rooms. Floors.
Nope.
Hey, there's four floors
nope.
of
nope. There's
camp.
Not.
God, what is this guy? Private jets, Emmys, you with your humongous checks. I just went to a punk show over the weekend.
Yeah, where you're still sore and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And you're having shower thoughts in a mosh pit.
In a dad's stash.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, kids, move over. Dad's coming in to... what is
watch,
this?
Watch this windmill, kids.
Hey, kids, let's go get into the Tosh pit.
Do you think anybody knew, like anybody saw you and thought, oh my God, that guy's such a narc?
No, I didn't have the mustache.
Oh, you didn't have the mustache?
No.
Hey, kids, do you have any grass?
Yeah. Also, it's a big indie rock music festival. There was a lot of mustaches.
I sure could use some barbiturates. Does anyone have
there was apparently a thing that there was a rumor that security guards were going through and going, hey, anyone got weed? And people go, yeah, and then they would confiscate it.
Oh, that sucks.
That's rude.
Yeah. I heard that like a bunch of people were complaining about that. That's so crazy. That's so shitty. They don't need to. There's no reason for them to go into the middle of a crowd and do that.
Yeah, why would they do that? Why weed?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why would they fucking bother people about weed at
it's
fuck the
F-Fest? It's a gateway drug, Chris. You ever see that commercial where that person deflates on the couch?
Yep.
That's why.
Just the most dismissive. Yep. You've never seen that commercial.
No.
You haven't seen that commercial?
Mm-mm. No. I got to be honest. I've seen it all. Trying to, I was,
it's just this girl
trying to be supportive, but move on.
If you said no, he would have explained it. And yeah, then he no, just I just been bored.
Yeah, I just wanted to say my thing. I just want to talk about my stuff.
That's fair.
I'm kidding.
That's great.
Doctor Who series 8 premiere was great.
Didn't watch it yet.
So good. Capaldi's great.
Yeah,
fucking great.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be a good doctor.
All right, I'll watch it. I still have to catch up on the last half of.
Oh, you got to catch up on the last half of the season.
Last season. Do you watch that?
Yeah.
You know, Matt's regeneration is not as sad as Tennant's. It's almost because it doesn't seem to come as suddenly to him.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. It's very pleasant. But
you're surrounded by family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Trenzalore.
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, watch it then.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think we just got to the end.
Wow.
Do you want to have another war fact, or do you want to...
It wasn't a fact about war.
It was a theory. It was a theory.
It was just a thing I thought
of. It was
a
hypothesis.
You know, podcasts sprung up because the children of the first Iraq war wanted to...
Listen to something.
...put things in their ears to... Your mustache is making me giggle. You're just nodding your head.
Yeah. Far be it for anyone to have an idea. So sorry to have a whimsical thought about something.
Whimsical?
No, you're right. You know, they should go back in and edit you into the Think Different campaign.
They should. They fucking should.
Gandhi.
You're just a crazy Marie person Curie. In front of a brick wall with a denim shirt on.
We're going to be bummed when we find out that there was a direct correlation between Mosh.
You know what? I'm
it was just like a, it was just
more.
A thought. It was just, you know.
Such a weird thought to me. I don't know.
Really?
It was very strange.
Actually, I like your thought.
That's... You know, I don't have a problem.
Here's the
with
idea.
It. I just
think is that
it's so
like
strange.
It's like people like are very aggressive, right?
Sure.
And there's no kind of like war. There's no country to hate. There's no like, you know, and so it starts to come out in different ways. The idea that we have sports and not like a fucking like, you know, people fighting lions in a, you know, in a coliseum. Are you trying to negate the thing that's already straight up?
Well, I gotta say,
what do you got,
what
Kyle?
Are you saying?
Get a microphone on this guy.
No, I'm sorry.
We're out of time.
No.
Traditionally, in art history, post-war periods are when some of the most violent and you know, art movements come through. Like post-World War I Germany, the Dada movement started. That was then crushed by fascism when a second war comes.
Yeah, but Dadaism wasn't
Katie
violent.
Edited all that out.
Yeah,
no, it was violent. It was violent art.
There were full-on art riots that were happening at the salons when Duchamp was putting out some of his early works.
This is what happens when we let you talk?
Hang on.
Yeah, all this guy does
hang
is
on,
read. Amazing.
Hang
He's
on,
so
hang
enlightened.
Hang on.
He just giggles over there like a walk-around Muppet.
No, but that's not the art movement. That's what's happening outside of the art movement. That's
French salons can be totally directly related to like New York punk movements. It's young people reflecting against movement afterwards.
But I love your enthusiasm.
But, like, no, that's a perfect representation. Violent art is almost always done
after war because
there's a nihilism of seeing death in a generation being torn apart.
Where was it in post-World War II?
Yeah, there absolutely was. The science fiction films that were showing nuclear annihilation being a constant danger.
Jonah's so smug right now.
Like, science fiction as a whole, like, its rise is fully built around the idea that the atomic bomb was the thing that ended World War I, creating a bleak outlook for a future even in the face of victory.
Enjoy your burrito.
Yeah!
Slam dunk, Kyle!
I still think that.
So glad I cloned myself when I was four.
Jonah's theory was asinine.
Have fun. You go and read.
And I don't understand how an upside down urinal is violent. I'll see you guys later.
There's going to be a really great art movement after this podcast.
I missed you fucking guys.
Yeah, I know.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.